This morning's sermon is called Jesus Christ Has Overcome the World. Amen, right? From John chapter 16, verse 25 through 33. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of John chapter 16. Or you can use the Pew Bible. Plus, it's up on the wall. We have every angle covered. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's take a look at verses 25 through 28. Jesus said to his apostles, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language." Let's just stop here for 1 minute. Right up until now, Jesus used a lot of illustrative words to them. He used a lot of proverbs. He used a lot of parables to them to help them understand spiritual truths, right? Because they had not yet become born again until they received the Holy Spirit. And they had a hard time understanding the things that Jesus was telling them and teaching them. So Jesus tells them, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming." What time? When they're going to receive the Holy Spirit after his resurrection. And they will not need those illustrations anymore because they'll understand it. They will understand the things that Jesus has been talking about. So he says, there's coming a time I'm not going to have to speak to you in figurative language. I'm not going to have to speak to you in parables anymore or proverbs or illustrated word. He says, because you're going to get it. The Holy Spirit's going to come live within you. He's going to teach you all truths about me. And you're going to get it. Because at the time, most things went over their head. 3.5 years. God in the flesh with them. A lot of things went over their head because they hadn't receive the Holy Spirit, right? He's telling the Holy Spirit, he's going to come. He's going to teach you all things. I'm not going to have to speak to you like this anymore in parables. He's all these spiritual things you need to know. He's going to, the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you and guide you so you know all truths about me. This is what he's telling them. And then Jesus went on to say, "I will no longer speak to you in figurative language. But I will tell you plainly about the Father." You'll understand. Jesus tells him, the time is coming when I won't have to illustrate things to you. You're just going to know the truth. And in verse 26, it says, right, "And in that day, you will ask the Father in my name, and I do not say to you that I should pray to the Father for you." In that day, you're going to have full access to the Father through me 24/7. You're not going to need me. You're not going to have to say, "Jesus, can you go ask the Father for this for me?" He says, no, you're not going to need to do that anymore. When the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, you're going to have access to the Father through me 24/7. Right? Hebrews 4:16, right? Right? Shared that with you a couple weeks ago. "Let us, therefore, come boldly" to what? The throne of grace. "That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hallelujah. We lose the mic? Did we? Okay. Just have to talk a little louder, guys. Burn my throat out real quick. Right? Listen, God has opened the door for you and I to come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus says, "I've opened the door for you. Go. Pray to my Father through me boldly to the throne of grace." Right? Jesus invites them and us to pray to the Father. And when we need to ask for help, to seek his blessings, to look for direction in our lives and help with our needs. And Jesus says, just ask in my name. Ask in my name. You know, to pray in Jesus' name means to be, listen, means to pray based on his merit, his righteousness, okay? I'm in with God because of what he did for me. He's my access, okay? It's what he's done. To pray in Jesus' name is based on his merit, his righteousness. That's why the Bible says you cannot pray in anyone else's name but Jesus. Try praying in the name of Buddha or in the name of Muhammad. See how far you get with that. Even try praying in the name of Moses or Mary. It don't work with God. He says, you pray in my son's name. It only works with my son, says the Father. And when you pray according to his will, the Bible says he hears you. Did you catch that? When you pray according to his will, he hears you, right? And the more you know him, and the more you know his word, and the more you die to self and live for him, the more your prayers are going to line up with God's will. Amen? Okay? You have authority in Jesus' name, but it also demands conformity. I'm coming in, listen, I'm coming in Jesus' name. We're on the same page. We're heading in the same direction. Praying in authority of Jesus' name, but it demands conformity. Right? Jesus gives us the authority to pray through him, through his death, so you can come to the Heavenly Father. Because you're not coming based on anything that you have done. Right? We're praying what Jesus, based on what Jesus has done. You're coming in Jesus' name. Right? It's not what I've done. It's what he's done. It's what he has accomplished. It was his blood that was shed. He opened the door. His body was broken. He tore the veil. And he said, come on in. Come on in. And he tells his disciples, this is your privilege. This is your joy. So it is authority, but also with conformity, because I have to be living in a way that honors Jesus for the Father to respond to me according to his will. Jesus continued in verses 27 and 28, same slide. He said in verse 27, for the Father, look at this. You look at this, guys. For the Father himself loves you. Underline it. Highlight that in your Bible. Why does he love you? Look at what it says. Jesus said, because you have loved me, says the Lord. And you have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world, he tells his disciples, and I'm going back to the Father. Jesus was telling them, you don't need me, listen, you don't need me to put in a good word for you. You're already in good standing with the Lord because you love me and believe in me, and the Father now loves you like I love you. Powerful, right? And you have full access to the Father through me, he tells them, because he's getting ready to leave them. Remember, we're hours away from his crucifixion. He's going to be gone. He's going to show himself to them, but then he's going back to the Father. So he says, you don't need me to ask on your behalf. Of course, the Lord will intercede for us, right? We know that. It's in the Bible. He will intercede for us, but that's not the context here. He's saying, I've given you full access to the Father to pray to him through me 24/7. Why? Because you love me. And because you love me, the Father loves you. I mean, this is powerful. Because you love me, you love everything about me. and you believe in me in your heart. And because of that, oh, my Father loves you. It's a good thing to be loved by the Father, huh? My Father loves you. He said, he's opened the door for you to come boldly and talk with him and pray to him in my name. You do not need me to go to the Father for you. You go through me in my name, and you ask the Father what it is that you want or you need. You're in. You're in as a child of God. You are a born-again believer. Let's take a look at verse 29 and 30. So after Jesus, look at this. So after Jesus said these things to them, verse 29 says, disciples said to Jesus, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things. A little appeasement going on, huh? And have no need that anyone should ever question you, Lord. By this we believe that you came forth from the Father. Now, everything the apostle said about Jesus in verse 30 is correct. He is God. He came forth from the Father. He does know everything, and he did speak clearly and directly to them. But they still didn't get it. They didn't get it. And you and I probably wouldn't have either. We get it. We got the Word. We've been born again. We see it. Oh, yeah, I get that, Lord. They didn't. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They really didn't get it. What seemed hard to understand for the disciples during the life of Jesus, right, would become clear after his death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Oh, then things started to add up. They would actually understand the ministry of Jesus better, his word better, than when they were actually with God in the flesh. As the Holy Spirit inspired them to write the Gospels and the epistles, and as the Holy Spirit ministered to them and in them and through them. So after they say twice, did you catch that in that verse? They say twice, oh, now we get it, Lord. Now you speak our language. A little appeasement going on here. They didn't get it. We get it, Lord. And Jesus calls them out on it in verse 31. Let's take a look at verse 31 through 33. Calls them right out on it. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Almost to say, really, guys? I think that's in Greek, the original Greek. Really? Do you now believe? He knew they didn't. They didn't get it. It wasn't until after his resurrection when Jesus showed himself to them while they were hiding in a room in fear of the religious leaders, when Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection and he said, peace to you, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, in which they became born again, and then they started to understand all things he told them. That's in John chapter 20, verse 21 through 23. We'll eventually get there. We're close. You know, we've been in this book, I think, 2 years now. Yeah, we're probably going to finish up here in the fall, but this isn't a race. We want to go slow and let the Lord speak to us. I just don't want to rattle off some scriptures and say, hey, have a good day. Peace be with you. No, we want to know what the Lord has to say. We want to get spiritually fed. That's why we come to church. We don't come to church for campfire stories, some Cocoa Puff sermons. No. We want to get fed. Give me Jesus. That's why I come to worship him. You can tell I'm passionate about that. People preaching and silly stuff. Give me Jesus. That's why I'm here. Give me his word. It's about him, not me. You know, it's not until you receive the Holy Spirit that comes to live within a believer, a true believer, until things start making sense. That's right. right? Things start clicking. Oh, I get it, Lord. Now, listen, I'm not saying you guys are biblical scholars. Let's not push it. But you certainly know more since becoming born again than you did before, right? At least I hope you do, right? That's the Holy Spirit in you teaching you. It's the Father's will that you know His Word. He wants you to understand His Word. He didn't write this book and leave it behind for you to be confused. He wants you to understand it. And when you receive Christ by faith and the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, He opens up these spiritual truths to you. And you start to understand all things. You start praying things that's the Father's will. And after they receive the Holy Spirit, oh, things begin to add up. Things begin to add up. And the things that Jesus told them started to make sense. Once they received the Holy Spirit, Peter went out and he preached the second best sermon of all time in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It's only the second best sermon of all time because Jesus preached the best sermon on the sermon, right? The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. He preached the number one. Peter preached the second best sermon ever, Acts chapter 2. Read it. How could he do that? Because the Holy Spirit was on fire inside him. And he preached with boldness. He didn't care he was going to get locked up in jail. He's going to tell you the Word of God. Hallelujah. But Jesus preached the best sermon of all time on the Sermon of the Mount, chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. What a sermon. Jesus went on to say, too, I want you to see this. Jesus went on to say in verse 32, he said, indeed, the hour is coming. He's speaking of his death. Yes, has now come. That you will be scattered. You guys are going to run from me. And look what he wrote. Each to his own. Each to his own. And you will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Again, Jesus was like, really? You now believe? Because you're all going to bail on me once I get arrested and dragged off. You will all scatter each to his own, and you're going to leave me. Because they didn't get it. And Jesus quotes the prophet Zechariah from 500 years prior. He says, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7 says, when they strike the shepherd, what? The sheep are going to scatter. They're going to scatter. And at the end of that verse, verse 32, Jesus said, but I'm not alone because the Father is with me. And you should know, as a believer in Christ, you are never alone as well. Amen? You are never alone as well. The Spirit of God is living in you, and He promises you He will never leave you or what? Forsake you. In verse 33, it says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Highlight that in your Bible. Highlight that in your Bible. That in me you may have peace, because I've overcome the world. I want you to notice in verse 33, Jesus gives them comfort, and that is when they failed, He didn't. Right? And I think that's the lesson we need to learn from these last five verses, that when we fail, the Lord will not. He's not going to fail us. Jesus assures them that even in their worst, in Him, they will have victory and overcome the world. Jesus gives us a promise of peace right here in verse 33. Jesus says, you can have peace in me because I've overcome the world, which means, listen, which means you can have peace while you're living in this world because you know the end result. After this life, where you're heading. So you can have peace in this world. And it's going to be glorious. You know where you're going after this life. Right? Romans 8:18 says, nothing in this world will compare to the glory of being with God. Do you catch that? Nothing in the world will compare to the glory of being with God. That should bring you enough peace right there in your heart, knowing that where you're heading when the Lord calls you home could be tomorrow, could be 10 years, could be 30 years, but it's going to be glorious, Jesus says. You know the end results after this life. Listen, some of your saved loved ones, they're already there. Hallelujah. They're already there. And the best is yet to come, says the Word of God. This isn't the best down here, by the way, guys. I don't know if you know that. Living down here isn't the best. The best is up there. Some people, this is the only heaven they'll ever know. For you or me, this is the only hell we'll ever know. Amen? Jesus said, I love this. Jesus said, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Our peace is in him. Stop looking to the world for your peace. Our peace is in Christ. That's his promise to you as a believer. In the world, you are going to get trouble and tribulation. We're not immune to that. Just because you're a child of God, you're not immune to that stuff. We're living in a broken world because of sin. But Jesus says, listen, I want you to take heart because I've overcome the world. And you can have peace in me. And if you are in me, I love this too. And if you are in me, you can also conquer like I conquered the world. Because why? Because you have peace in me. Right? Conquer means to prevail. If you brought your Bible, before we close, we'll close, we're going to have communion. But if you brought your Bible with you, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Speaking about conquering. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want you to go down to verse 37. Nice hearing those pages being wrestled. Hearing the Word of God. Go down to verse 37. I'm going to read 37 through 39 with you. The Apostle Paul wrote, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. You see that? Through, not on your own. Through him who loved us. Paul continued to write, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Listen, if you struggle with discouragement or depression, I encourage you to read that passage often. Memorize it. Meditate on it, because this is your hope that you have in Christ. This is our hope, because Jesus conquered, we will conquer too in him. So if you struggle with those two things, read that passage often. And by his power, you will conquer those things you're going through. And the more you align, before we close, I want you to know, the more you align your heart with God's heart, And the more you align your will with his will, the greater peace you're going to have in him. Okay? Amen? All right. We'll go ahead. If you can stand, let's stand. We're going to sing our communion hymn, Blessed Redeemer, page 320.